Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Cain. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I guess we should start out today by saying that tonight you're going to hear Joe Biden give his State of the Union address. And what you're going to hear is a mixture of lies, spin, and very clever verbal semantics to understate and undermine the damage that's been done to this country for the last 3+ years. Now, the situation is very, very obvious to anyone who has to go to a grocery store, has to stop at a gas station, or has to count their money a little bit. I suppose if you're uber rich and you don't really count your money or care, it doesn't matter. But if you're like the rest of the world, who literally has a bottom line at some point where they can no longer afford to do certain things, you care. And what you're going to hear is the following. You're going to hear job creation at an all-time high. Correct, because everyone needs more than one job to survive, and now people who normally were getting by on one job have to go out and get a second one. That's not something to brag about. Also, that was affected by the fact that you shut down half the job during COVID and kept them closed, to the point where a lot of places went out of business, and now these people have found themselves back into the workplace now, and you're counting that as a new job. Not a new job. You destroyed an existing one, and now that they've replaced it, that's just equal. You lost one job during COVID. After COVID, you regained it. You found a different position or regained that job. That's not a job added. Fudging the numbers on that. Absolutely fudging the numbers on that. Second thing you're going to hear is the economy is very strong. Well, if you want to take it in terms of how much money certain businesses are taking in, I suppose you could say the economy's strong when it's, you know, $14 for a Happy Meal. McDonald's only has to sell half of them to be even, right? So if they sell a little more than half, they're going to say, we're actually doing a little bit better. But again, that's semantics. Because you're not selling as many. 25% is the percentage of increase in actual groceries. 25%, not 3%. You're going to hear the word 3% a lot tonight. You're going to hear that even that's slowing down. Your grocery bill is up 25%. So that means on the average, if you spent $200 a week to feed your family, you are now spending $250. That $50 may not seem to be too much, but if you're doing that once a week, I mean, that's $200 a month, right? The car payment. That's an electric bill. That's a really nice night out for you and your family. And I think a lot of people don't really understand how the economy works. I think a lot of people just think, well, you know, it's the bottom line. It's the amount of money being made. Yeah, it is, but not really. Think of it this way. Let's say you're a family and you normally go to the movies once, let's say just once a month. You take your kids to the movies. You have two kids and you have family night out. So you drive into the local theater, but before you do, you stop for dinner at a place. You have dinner. You stop for gas and you put gas in the car and maybe get a couple of things in the gas station. You then go to the movies. You buy a large popcorn. On your way home, maybe you stop and get a drink at a deli or something. Look how many people were affected by you just deciding to go to the movies. The place you went to dinner. The gas station you got gas. The place you stopped on the way home to get some snacks, was all affected by your decision to just go to the movies on that day. Now, if you say, well, we really can't afford to go to the movies now because now it's close to $100, then every one of those other businesses suffer too, because on that night, they're not going to get that business. That's how the economy works. You go to a concert, there's five places you stop before a concert. All five of those places benefit by the fact that you're going to see a concert. If you decide the tickets are too much, I can't afford it, those five places are not making that money they would have made on that night due to your decision not to go there because you can't afford it. That's the real consequences of inflation, and that's what's happening. People are making the decision to stay home more. My grocery bill's higher than it used to be. My electric bill's higher than it used to be. My rent has been increased. Cable television is getting out of control. Hundreds of dollars a month to just watch a television show. And the liberals' answer has always been increase wages. Just increase wages. Who cares if gas is $12 a gallon? Increase wages to $30 an hour. At some point, that has to stop. And what needs to replace it is we need to start bringing prices down. We need to start living in a nation where people can afford to live on what they make, not just increasing what they make. Because that's a vicious circle. Because as soon as the people have to increase the salaries, they increase the prices. So it's a vicious circle. It doesn't end. You don't just say, hey, guess what? Minimum wage is $25 an hour and all the prices, everybody has to stay exactly where they are. No, that doesn't happen. So the employer says, wow, there's a big jump in minimum wage, but increase the prices and it all equals out, folks. And usually it doesn't even equal out. Usually you end up on the raw end of that. You end up with your dollar being less, your dollar buying power being less than it ever was. And that's exactly what's happened here. So Joe Biden can get up and say whatever he wants. Joe Biden can get up and say, I've created jobs, the economy's bouncing back, things are doing wonderful. We know better than that. Then he's going to say, I'm taking active steps on the border. Well, see, here's the thing. Someone has to remind Joe Biden that during the 2020 elections, he literally said, if I become president, everybody make a run for the border because it's going to be open. Okay, well, you did exactly what you said, and now you're reaping what you sow. And now everyone has suddenly decided, oh, wait a minute, we've taken a look at the polls, and we realize that the majority of people are really concerned about the amount of people flooding into this country. So we have to change our perspective on that. And suddenly, in an election year, it's, we got to do something about this. This is a crisis. Wasn't a crisis in 2020. Wasn't a crisis in 2021. Or 2022, or 2023. It's now, it's a crisis. It's a crisis now because it affects your possible quest to remain in power. And suddenly, oh, everybody's right. We must do something. Remember when Mayorkas said, you know, call it, it's not a bad situation. There's not a crisis. There's a slight problem. It'll be corrected. There's no crisis. Now everybody's screaming crisis, crisis, crisis. It was always a crisis, folks. They just lied. Just like Joe Biden's going to get up there tonight and lie. He's going to say how prices are coming down. Yeah, they're coming down. But again, this is the deceptive way Democrats work. Their policies shoot gas up to $4 and a quarter a gallon. From two, when Trump left office. Then they bring it down to $3.50, and they say, well, we've dropped gas prices considerably. No, you're still $1.50 higher than you were. Oh, but look how much it's come down. It used to be $4.50. Yeah, because you did that. You created the problem and then half solved it and want to take credit for solving the whole problem. That is your typical Democrat strategy. I want you to look back and remember when gas was $2 a gallon, when you could take your kids to McDonald's and you could all get value meals or happy meals and the bill was under $30. You can barely go yourself for that now. I want you to remember when you walked into the grocery store and you couldn't carry $150 worth of groceries into the house at once. Now you can carry it and have one hand free. It's not the same, folks. Even your dollar stores are now $1.25, and we're adding $5 sections and $4 sections because there's not enough things we can sell for a dollar. Well, gee, it's the same thing. How come? Why would that be? If the economy is so wonderful. So you'll hear a lot of lies tonight, folks, but this is minor compared to what you're about to hear. Because in the next several months, you need to be prepared. The worst is about to explode on us. During Super Tuesday, Donald Trump destroyed everyone's expectations. The liberal media clearly thought that all of these races were going to be within 7%, and they were going to be able to say, look how many people are rejecting Donald Trump. Look how many people don't want him. Nikki Haley has the perfect right to stay in this race because Donald Trump still may be disqualified. Well, the Supreme Court came with a ruling you can't keep him off the ballot. That set the liberals ablaze. And they revealed themselves, by the way. Because you know what the liberals said? That's Clarence Thomas' fault. Clarence Thomas is to blame for this. The ruling was 9-0. Who did they blame? They blamed the black man. That's who they blamed. Because despite what anybody said, the Democrats have always been the party of racism. And they can't stand the fact that there are African-American people out there who do not think like they think. They say, no, you must think like we think. What did Joe Biden say? If you don't vote for me, you're not black. So in other words, what he was saying is, if you don't think exactly like I think, then you shouldn't call yourself an African-American. How dare somebody make that statement? So you don't have freedom of thought. What Joe Biden was basically saying to the African-American community is you don't have freedom of thought. You think what we tell you to think. And don't you dare get uppity. And yet you still went out and voted for him. And yet you still believed, oh, Trump's bad, Trump's evil, Trump's terrible, Trump's a racist. Who's the racist? You're going to hear that old racism thing brought up again, and I think it's worth noting that you can find, if you want to look for it hard enough, on YouTube, some testimonials from some black entrepreneurs who literally said, we went to every bank thing to get a loan to open a small business. You know what we were told? No. Absolutely no. And then some friends of ours, mutual friends of ours, said, why don't you approach Donald Trump? Perhaps he'll loan you the money, personally loan you the money. And several of them had the same story, and here's the story. They went to Donald Trump. He drew them up a contract and said, here is the terms of the contract. Here is the money you need for your business. Are you willing to sign the contract? Each and every one of them, all of them African-American, signed the contract saying, yes, we're willing to pay back this amount of money in these terms and whatever. Donald Trump then took the contract and ripped it up and said, go run your business. In other words, he gave them the money. Flat out gave them the money. So I want you to think about this. If you approach someone, if you approach banks and they turn you down because they don't think you're a very good credit risk, and some of it may be due to the fact that you happen to be African-American, and you go to a billionaire who then hands you the money you want, has you sign the terms of a contract, and then says, forget it, it's basically a gift. Do you think that person's a racist? Do you think that's what a racist does? I bet you never heard that story. Go look it up. Tell me if I'm lying, because the answer is I'm not lying. That's exactly what happened. Not once, not twice, not three times, five, six times, different testimonials of people that this happened to the point where Oprah Winfrey and Jesse Jackson were saying what a wonderful person he is. Would you like me to pull up the clips of Hillary Clinton saying, I just wish someone like Donald Trump would run for president, an honest person who is free of all of this political nonsense, and he's not a racist bone in his body, and he's a fair-minded, wonderful person. You want me to pull that up? Then he announced he was running for president, and they said, oh, he's a bastard. Because they didn't, in their wildest dreams, didn't think he'd win. And they didn't want him to win. So you're going to hear more of this. You're going to hear Trump's a racist. Trump wants to start World War III. On top of this, I heard Rachel Maddow literally say that Donald Trump wants to jail people who are Democrats, who vote Democrat. Well, Rachel, do you remember when you had guests on your show who were saying these people who vote for Donald Trump, they need to be put into learning facilities where they are taught the truth about what's going on here? In other words, reconditioned. And you thought that was a wonderful idea. Because that's who you people are. And the more you lose, the more it's revealed. Supreme Court's decision was 9-0. You picked on the black guy. His fault. Clarence Thomas's fault. Not Sotomayor's fault. Clarence Thomas's fault. Then we get to all of these cases against Donald Trump falling apart. And I want to tell you something. I know there's a lot of people doing a lot of high-fiving over this Fannie Willis thing, because not only was it as obvious as the nose on your face that they're as corrupt as they can be in court, not only did we hear Nathan Wade's attorney friend literally freeze up in court to the point where he actually said, dang, when he was presented with evidence he couldn't refute, out loud. Not only did he say, I don't remember anything, when shown clear evidence that he said it. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Because now three or four more people are coming out. We've just had a person come out and say, did I hear Nathan Wade's friends say that they hadn't had any communication since 2022? I'm a waiter at a restaurant, and I just waited on them. I literally just waited on them and his attorney. And I know who they are. You can't lie to a court like that. So it's as plain as the nose on your face that she should be absolutely thrown off of this case, and so should Nathan Wade, and the case should be dropped. And you would think that it's a no-brainer. And I heard some news that a lot of you people were really sticking to, and that is that the judge, Scott McAfee, even though he was a little bit left-leaning, really had no fear over this decision because he's running in a very blue district for re-election, but he's running unopposed. So because he's running unopposed, he doesn't have any reservations about making a fair decision on this. Well, guess what? The minute this case wrapped up and he said, I'm going to take 2 weeks to think about this, and every rational thinking person clearly understood there's no way he can come back with any other decision except the obvious, that she cannot work on this case and neither can Nathan Wade, the left decided we're going to run somebody against him. Put somebody against him right now. Put the pressure on him to make sure the ruling is the way we want. Does that sound like democracy to you? Remember, they want to protect democracy so much. Does that sound like democracy to you, or does that sound like trying to interfere with the judge's decision? Oh, he's running unopposed. Oh, wait a minute. It's looking bad for us. Quick, run somebody. Then we can put the pressure on him. You want to lose? You want to keep your job? You better make the right decision. That's exactly what they're doing. Don't believe me? Go look up the guy who's running against him. He literally placed post, I believe it's on Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it, that showed Trump's new shoes saying, these are for people who need to run, because Donald Trump is a scam artist who's making enough money to try to finance his trials for all of his misdeeds. by having China make cheap, crappy shoes and selling them at an overpriced amount of money. Oh, this is the guy you want to be the judge in the Trump case, huh? This is a guy you want to elect a judge. You know, judges are supposed to be fair, impartial, have no personal animus toward anybody. That's the guy, huh? That's the guy you're running against, McAfee. What do you think that message is? That message is to this judge, you better come back with a decision that we want. Because if you don't, we're going to see to it that you lose your job. So let me ask you something. If you walked into your job today and your boss said, look, you're going to do X, Y, and Z that is really not legal. But if you don't, you don't have a job. What would you call that? Would you call that fair? Would you call that democracy? Or what would you call that? Because that's what McAfee's facing right now. If he comes back with a decision, which is an obvious one, anyone could tell. But this is an obvious, obvious decision. If he comes back with that decision, he's probably out of his job. And he's going to be replaced by a guy who's an adamant Trump hater and admits it. Do you think that's fair? I want all of you liberals who listen to this show, and I know some of you do. How about if the guy, your next door neighbor, is a police officer, and you get into a dispute with him over, your fence? And because you get into a dispute with him over your fence, and he calls you every name in the book, and you say, hey, man, I'm right. My fence is on my property. Leave me the F alone. He pulls you over and says, I saw you speeding, and I saw you with an open container, and I'm going to take you to court, and the judge also is my uncle, and he's going to listen to me. You think that's fair? Or would you be crying crocodile tears, oh, my God, this isn't fair. This isn't right. But it's okay if it's Trump. It's okay if he gets railroaded, just as long as you don't. You see, you either believe in justice or you don't. And for the people who are screaming and yelling and crying about, well, you're a conservative, of course, you're always going to take the side of a conservative. I got news for you. I'm one of the few conservatives that I know that still thinks O.J. Simpson didn't do it. You can call me whatever you want. You can call me conspiracy theorist. You can call me crazy. You can say he's practically admitted it. I have serious reservations about this. I was a little young when the case was on, but I've done some studying on it. And I have some serious reservations about things. That was probably the correct decision. So don't tell me that. I was the guy during the Trayvon Martin case who said, why is this guy who's nothing more than a neighborhood watch guy escalating the violence by literally getting out of his car and brandishing a weapon when Trayvon Martin's just walking through a place? Okay, maybe he's trespassing. Big deal. Maybe he mouthed off to you. Big deal. Maybe he said, you step out of this car, I'll show you what I'm doing around here. Big deal. You're not a cop. You had no right to get out of that car and escalate that violence that led to his death, period, end of conversation. So don't tell me that I always take the side of the right, because I don't. But you left-wingers do. If tomorrow you found out that every single piece of evidence against Donald Trump was fake, you'd say, yeah, I don't believe it. He's guilty. Hang him. Because you don't believe in justice. You believe in power, and there's a difference. You believe in getting your way regardless of what it takes. Now, this is going to be a problem, and I'm going to tell you why it's a problem, because Republicans do not believe that, and Republicans don't believe that to the point of being wimps. Republicans don't believe that to the point of now we're hearing, well, you know, after Donald Trump's massive victory, what he has to do is reach out to Nikki Haley and say, Nikki, please help me get the voters that you took away from me because I need you to do that. No, he doesn't. Why are you saying that? If anything, Nikki Haley has to reach out to him. She was blown away by him. Absolutely blown off the face of the earth by him. He got the mandate. She didn't. Oh, she wins in Vermont where it's an open primary where Democrats can vote. Guess what they did? They all went and voted for Nikki Haley to try to screw Donald Trump. The only vote she really got is very, very moderate or war hawkish Republicans and Democrats who are going to vote for Biden in the general election. He doesn't need to reach out to her. He needs to reach out to him. And I'm tired of people like Fox News and everybody else saying, and Karl Rove saying, now's the time for Trump to preach unity. Preach unity. He's been preaching unity since day one. You're the ones. You're the ones who separated us. The left. Donald Trump said, I'm everybody's president. You're the ones who constantly 24-hour news cycle of how bad he was, trying to draw a wall between them. And you succeeded, so congratulations. You're the ones who did it. Donald Trump with his behavior. You know what that's like? That's like if someone came up to you in the street and said, hey, asshole, who the hell do you think you are walking down this street? I'll tell you when you can walk down the street and when you can't walk down this street. Now you apologize to me and turn around and walk the hell away. And you say, oh, really? Well, let me tell you something. You got 3 seconds to move, or I'm going to move you out of my way. I'll walk where I want to walk in the United States of America, asshat. And then that person saying, well, he's very violent. Did you hear how he talked to me? Did you hear what he said? He threatened to move me. That is obviously a psychotically violent man. You're the one who caused it. So when Donald Trump strikes back at somebody who's been hitting him and hitting him and hitting him and hitting him, then you blame him for retaliating and saying he's divisive. The Democrats couldn't give one goddamn what's happening to you. As long as they stay in power, they'll do whatever they have to do. And then they have the nerve to say, we're trying to preserve democracy. When you're trying to take someone off the ballot, when you literally have the governor of a state saying, even if you write him in, I won't count it. Does that sound like democracy to you? Wake up. And the worst is yet to come, folks, because now that Donald Trump is clearly the winner, and he is going to go against presumably Joe Biden, the floodgates are open. They are going to try everything under the sun. They are going to bring about women who they have paid to say, Donald Trump flicked a booger at me back in 1973. They're going to bring more charges of Donald Trump said that, his autograph is worth $5,000 on eBay, and we found out it's only worth $1,000, so he greatly overestimated. He needs to go to jail for 35 years for that. You're gonna hear every wild story in the world. I literally watched an out-of-control Joe Scarborough screaming at the top of his lungs how Donald Trump insults our military every day with not one single example. He, the brave people of the military, are attacked every day by Donald Trump. When? I never heard him say one thing. You just made that up. You literally just made that up. How is it that most of the military support Donald Trump then if they're made fun of every day? He just made it up. I heard Rachel Maddow say, if he gets in office, he will never leave. He's going to stay forever like a dictator. Well, then how come he left in 2020? Oh, but he didn't. He tried an insurrection. No, he didn't stop. You want the real truth of what you did? I'm not afraid to say it. You, the CIA, the FBI, and the Democratic Party decided we are going to have some sort of a riot happen on January 6th. We're going to provoke it. We're going to send in agent provocateurs to make sure it happens. We are going to make pretend they planted pipe bombs. We are going to do a whole bunch of things, and probably a half a dozen or more real Trump supporters will join in on it because you can find a half a dozen crazy people anywhere in a crowd this big, And then we'll blame it all on Trump. Say he's an insurrectionist. We will, and he'll never be able to surface again. That's what you did. I've just literally summarized what you did. And the truth, by the way, is out there if you just want to look at it. When you see police officers phony arresting people, got handcuffs on them, and the second they think they're outside of the camera view, they take the handcuffs off the person and shake their hand. Then you know something's wrong. Go ask a police officer when the last time that happened. When you see 5 to 7 police officers escorting one man through the Capitol building, opening doors that are locked, when they could have just picked him up by, all 5 or 6 of them could have picked him up and thrown him out the door, you know something's wrong. Folks, listen, you can deny it all you want. You can bury your head in the sand like an ostrich and say, no, Trump bad. Fine. If that's the way you want to live your life, I can't help you. But I'm telling you right now that unless you are brain dead, even the most staunch liberal now has to be saying, wait a minute. This does seem to be a little much. There's something going on here. There's a get Trump mission like I've never seen. And even though I don't like him, what's going on? I don't particularly like certain people, but if they're set upon wrongly, I will correct them. I don't know how many people I've corrected about even Joe Biden. Oh, Joe Biden said this, and I'll go take a look at it and say, well, no, that's actually not what he said. Well, you know, Barack Obama did this. No. I can't tell you how many people, Michelle Obama's a man. No, she's not a man. My God, go look up the yearbook picture. How hard is it for you to look up the woman's yearbook picture from high school? It takes 5 seconds. So I'm not that guy. Oh, he wasn't even born in this country. Yeah, whatever. I'm telling you that January 6th was planned. And it wasn't planned by Trump supporters. It was planned to try to make Trump supporters look bad and try to get as many Trump supporters as they could to join in on it. But it was pre-planned. It was pre-planned to cover up the fact that they stole an election, which is exactly what they did. You can bitch and whine and complain and kick and holler and have a tantrum and have to go to a coloring room and have to go to a therapist. I don't care. If you can't see that, you're stupid. Because the evidence is all right there. I don't know how much more evidence has to come out. I bet you none of you know that Fannie Willis not only met with Kamala Harris at the White House prior to indicting Trump, but she gave interviews about it to a man who's written a book on how Trump was involved in the Russian collusion situation. Oh, boy, isn't it funny how all these people know each other and they're buddy-buddy. Isn't it funny how they're all together in one big mass, huh? Why would Fannie Willis be at the White House talking about what? Why would Fannie Willis be talking about Russian collusion prior to even indicting Trump? Please. Folks, come on. My goodness. I know you're not that stupid. You're just willfully blind. And that's worse. Because if you're stupid, you can be educated. If you're ignorant to the facts, you can be shown the facts and say, okay, well, that's a fact. If you're willfully blind, you're the ones who look at the facts and say, nope, don't believe it. Nope, refuse to believe it. Okay, well, then I can't help you. Because you are willfully blind and you don't care. Your hatred for one person has totally clouded your judgment, has totally clouded your sense of fairness and justice. But if you are among the Trump supporters or you are among the Republicans or conservatives, you better prepare yourself. Because we're already under attack. We've been under attack for 3.5 years, but the attack is about to get worse. Joe Scarborough says, anybody who supports Trump is an insurrectionist. Anybody who supports Trump is an idiot. Based on what? Based on the fact that we had the lowest gas prices we had in years? Based on the fact that the economy was soaring? Based on the fact that ISIS was crushed? Based on the fact that Russia was in checkmate and so was Iran? Based on the fact that we had wonderful job opportunities, big rise in job opportunities for minorities? Yeah, but he said something bad about Rosie O'Donnell. Well, you want to go back and hear what Rosie O'Donnell said about him for five straight weeks before he retaliated? What is he supposed to do? Well, I'll tell you what he's supposed to do. Just like all you African Americans out there listening to me, we're supposed to fall in line. How dare we fight back? How dare you vote for anybody but Joe Biden? You're not black. Joe Biden said so, so you're not black. You do what we say. You fall in line. Well, as Republicans, we're supposed to do the same thing. How dare you fight back? You're supposed to take it and smile and say, well, gee, I'm sorry she feels that way, but, you know, I don't think that's correct, but she has a right to her opinion. And when we finally have somebody who's going to stand up and say, no, I'm not taking this from you. You want to hit me? I'll hit you twice as hard. Oh, then they're the bad guy. They're the bad guy. I want all of you minorities to think about something when you go to the polls. Isn't this the way they treated you? Isn't this the way you were treated? Fall in line. Do what we say. Don't question authority. We'll tell you what to think. We'll tell you how to vote. We'll tell you how to dress and what to say. Isn't that the way you were treated? Now go do your research and tell me what party treated you that way. Was it the Republican Party? The Republican Party was founded by African Americans. I bet a lot of you people didn't know that. Go look it up. The bottom line of the situation is this, folks. You're free to vote however you want to vote. But what you need to start doing is voting your best interests, not the best interests of a party who has left you high and dry. And for the next, I don't know how long, until November, we are going to be besieged. They are in full attack mode now, folks. They are going to try to destroy you. They are going to destroy your ideology. They are going to try to destroy Donald Trump. They are going to try to destroy anyone who is on his side. And they're going to do it in the worst possible ways, because the one thing they cannot do this year is they cannot fudge the numbers. You see, regardless of what the Republicans want to say, and here's more proof that I'm not always on their side, Donald Trump was never ahead in the polls in 2020. It was close. He was ahead in some areas, obviously. He was ahead in Florida, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the U.S. polls. Joe Biden was always a point or so ahead of Donald Trump. 49, 51, or whatever it happened to be, but it was close. Now, I still say the election was rigged. But I told you why it was rigged. You changed the actual laws in several key states unconstitutionally without going through the proper channels. You had the FBI and social media and the news literally black out anything bad about Joe Biden that would cause people not to want to vote for him. And instead you ran 24-hour don't vote for Trump program. So you helped to, rig an election. You absolutely did. But you can't do it this time, because the polls are clearly showing Donald Trump up by 5-6 points. Joe Biden's approval rating is 30%. So are we expected to believe that a man whose approval rating is 30% is going to rise from the ashes like the phoenix and get more votes than Donald Trump? It's not going to happen. And the Democrats know it's not going to happen, and that's why they're panicking, folks. They're panicking because they say, well, there's nothing we can do to rig this. We either have to get him disqualified somehow, prevent him from running, bankrupt him, put him in jail, whatever we have to do, scare his potential voters away from voting for him. So you send in Nikki Haley. And if you think for 1 minute that Nick is not on their side, you've lost your mind. If Nikki Haley was not on the side of the Democrats, then Nikki Haley clearly would have said in her concession speech, "We gave it a good shot, folks. I was very proud to be the first woman to ever win two different, one state and a district. I was very proud of the fact that we ran a great campaign, but the people have clearly spoken. And now that the people have clearly spoken, I understand that this country is in trouble. And while I do not agree with everything that Donald Trump says, I agree with him much, much, much more than I do Joe Biden. And clearly, the choice between the two is obviously Donald Trump. So I'm encouraging all of my supporters to please throw your support behind Donald Trump and help to save this country." She didn't do that. She said, "Well, you know, you guys have a choice now. You don't have to go with the Republican. You have a choice." You know what this is called? This is called, "Hey, Donald, what kind of position are you going to give me in your cabinet? Because if it makes enough money for me, I may just smile and tell all my supporters to follow you. And if it doesn't, I may just frown and say, maybe you better find another option." Is that somebody you wanted representing you? That's what she's doing. Did Ron DeSantis do that? He didn't. He came out and said, "Okay, listen, the people have spoken. I have disagreements with Donald Trump. I don't think he's, you know, right about everything, but he's a hell of a lot better choice than anybody else, and I am absolutely endorsing him." Even Mitch McConnell endorsed him. Did Nikki Haley? No. Because Nikki Haley is holding that for ransom. How much does my endorsement mean to you? Because for the right amount of money, the right position, I might just get on that stage and smile a phony smile and say, "Donald is so wonderful. I don't know why I ever ran against him. He's just a wonderful man." The most disingenuous person on the face of God's green earth. She's the one who's clearly showing you how politics works. The ugly side of politics. And I hope that Donald Trump rejects it and says, "Tough, Nikki. You're not getting a position in the cabinet. If your people don't want to vote for me, don't vote for me." No matter what Karl Rove says, no matter what Fox News says, you know, scampering to a microphone as quick as they can to say, now Trump has to reach out to Nikki Haley. Why? She lost. She needs to reach out to him, not vice versa. Boy, I'm sick of the Republicans playing this game. Get any more weak-kneed? Can you get any more wimpy? Where is your backbone? Because that's what the American people want now. They don't want spineless wonders. They want someone with a backbone. And you're trying to tell that person with a backbone, you better genuflect. You better kiss the ring. Well, no, we don't want them to kiss the ring. Wake up. Why don't you spend some time around real people instead of hanging around all these Washington idiots who don't know shit from applesauce? Let me go to the phones. In New York, you there?
I am here, and Marcus, I want to comment on the whole MSNBC talking heads losing their minds after Super Tuesday and the way they were just trying to spin everything that Donald Trump is going to see. He's on a mission to steal the election, and he's corrupt, and he's this. He put our country into – they're still trying to sell us, the American people who don't know any better, apparently, that there was indeed an insurrection, that he's corrupt, and his property isn't worth more than $18 million, and this, they're still trying to push the Russian collusion. Joy Reid lost her mind. She lost her mind. Joe Scarborough just had a complete meltdown on television to the point where he was just making stuff up. The American people are their eyes are wide open. And there's a good majority of them that do know better. But the people that are supposed to be on our side, on the Republican side, for the most part, have zero guts.
They're... Well, let me tell you this. Rachel Maddow literally had Donald Trump's speech taken off. She listened to him for about a minute and said, okay, we know he's lying. We know he's just saying ridiculous things. We know he's saying racist things. We know he's saying horrible things. And we're not going to give him a platform to say that on this show. So just take that off. What do you think would happen tonight if Fox News said, Joe Biden's lying about the economy, he's lying about the border, and we're just not going to show it? The headlines would be, the Republicans are trying to usurp democracy. They won't even allow their listeners to listen to the President of the United States for fear that he might make sense. Rachel, that's what you did. You were afraid that your listeners might listen to Donald Trump and say, I don't see anything so racist about this. I don't see anything so scary about this. He's making sense. You can't have that. So you got to tell your listeners what to think. Oh, he's saying racist things. Take my word for it. Oh, he's saying horrible things, anti-democratic things. Take my word for it. I'm not going to let you listen to him because you're not smart enough to interpret it. Only I'm smart enough to interpret it. Take my word for it. I pulled it off so you were spared it, but this is what he said. That's the way you want your people to act? You don't want to be able to make up your own mind, huh? You don't want to listen to them and say, this is what I think. They don't even think you're worthy of that. We'll tell you what to think. We'll tell you what he said. We'll interpret it for you, peon. You don't get the opportunity to do that. I'm Rachel Maddow. I'll tell you what he said and what he really meant, and you'll like it. Apparently, that's the way liberals want to be. Please tell us what to think. Please tell us what to do. Please interpret things for us. We're too stupid. We need Rachel to do it for us. We don't want to listen to the big bad man. We just want to listen to what Rachel says the big bad man said. For fear that the big bad man may say something that clicks in your mind and you say, that makes sense. That makes pretty good sense. This is the reason that liberals on campus try to shut down Republican speakers and conservative speakers because they're afraid they're going to make sense. I've said for a long time, if my opponent was such a horrible person, I'd be like, yeah, let him speak. The more he speaks, the more he buries himself. I want you to hear him, I or her. I want you to hear what they have to say. When you start trying to shut down what people say, it's because you fear that they might be making sense and they might actually reach you in some way, Tom. That's why they shut you down.
Yeah, and, well, you know, that's not what a democracy does. They're the first ones to scream about, you know, our democracy is in trouble and they're going to preserve democracy. Listen, on January 6th, they actually think that the QAnon shaman was going to pop his head out and become the next president and just sit in the chair and be like, okay, I'm the next president. Too bad. You will now refer to me as king instead of president. Is that what they really think? All under the instruction of evil orange man, Donald Trump. Come on.
More we learn about January 6th, the more we learn it's exactly what I said. It was a setup in order to try to convince some Trump supporters to join them in a debacle that was pre-planned in order to smear the conservatives and Trump supporters and make people think that MAGA stands for extreme. Let me explain something to you. Every single view that right now makes you a MAGA Republican would have made you a moderate Republican 20 years ago. And maybe even a moderate Democrat. Remember when Joe Biden said, I don't want my kids going around in a jungle, an urban jungle. And I want people who are smoking crack in jail for 25 years, pot even. See, this is what I'm saying. If you go back to the Reagan era, Donald Trump would have been considered a moderate Republican, maybe possibly a Democrat. This is how far the Democratic Party has went. That somebody like Donald Trump is considered extreme when not so very long ago he would have considered very middle of the road. Very middle of the road. Now, the Democrats are in a panic tonight, Tom, because teleprompters be damned, Joe Biden's going to have to go out there and be coherent. And it's not going to be easy for him. Now, I'm not making fun of the man because of his age, because there are people his age that are still extraordinarily coherent. He's just not one of them. And there is a vast opportunity tonight for Joe Biden to shit the bed. And if he does in any way, shape, or form, I don't know how they're going to explain it. I just don't know. This is a man who's claimed to talk to dead people weeks ago that have been dead for 10 years. This is a man who continues to tell stories that have been proven to be 100% impossible because the people he's talking about either did not exist at the time or never met him. And yet he's going to have to go out there and try to tell you that everything is sunshine and roses when you're the person going to the grocery store, coming home with less and spending more. You're the person who takes a look at your monthly bills and says, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. This is the guy's job tonight, to convince you you're wrong, what your eyes are seeing is wrong, everything that I said is right, I'm doing a great job, you just don't understand. And Donald Trump was doing a far worse job. But everybody knows that's not true. So either you're going to put your head in the sand like an ostrich and say, yeah, but I like Joe Biden and I hate Donald Trump. Donald Trump is mean and Donald Trump says rude things and Donald Trump fights back. We like the Republicans. We can just keep punching and punching and punching and punching and they don't fight back. That's the Republicans we like. That's what's going to happen tonight. Now, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know whether they're going to hype him all up on whatever kind of senility medicines they can to get him through this night. I don't know whether they're going to have a teleprompter the size of Godzilla's forehead. I have no idea what they're going to do. But I'll tell you this. You're going to hear a bunch of semantics. You're going to hear a bunch of spin, and you're going to hear a bunch of flat-out lies. Regardless of what you hear, just ask yourself, is this how I feel? Do I have more money in my pocket? Do I feel more safe at home? Do I feel safe walking around the streets of my city? Do I feel more safe abroad? Do I feel like I have more control over my life or the government has more control over my life? Ask yourself those questions, regardless of what Joe Biden says, and you'll be on the right path. I think too few people do that, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know. I mean, you already know that we know what the state of the country is. We don't need Joe Biden making a 35-minute speech and then going to bed on the fact that the economy is doing great and he's created more jobs than the last. Every single lie he's gonna try to tell us. I mean, honestly, all that forehead, and he's still forgetful, is just beyond me. But it's actually just more sad than anything. And I used to get a kick out of the fact that he was just, like, slurring all over the place. I don't anymore. It's just sad and pathetic that this is the leadership that our country has fallen under. And
well, you can be sure of one thing. He's not leading the country. Okay, he's the guy in the suit. He's the guy who they parade out there and say, you're representing the cabal. You're speaking for us, but he's not pulling the strings, and he hasn't since the day he got into office. They may tell him he's pulling the strings, but he's not. You can clearly see he can't. So, folks, prepare yourself. If you're a Republican, if you're a Trump supporter, prepare yourself, because the next several months is going to be living hell. You are going to be barraged like you've never seen in your life with flurries of you're insurrectionist, you're racist, you're this, you're that, you're the other thing. And you have to hold strong to your convictions and say, I am none of those things. I am a common sense individual who wants what's best for this country, and you're the ones trying to tear it down. You're the ones trying to tax it through the roof. You're the ones trying to usurp authority from the people and give it to yourself. You're the ones trying to seize control of our property, the way we live, our children, our education, everything. You're the ones who want to control us. You want to be the puppet masters and us the puppets. Because that's what they want. And brainwashing you is part of it. I want you to just think about the one thing I said earlier on in this show. Do you think a racist hands not one, two, three, or four, but at least five black entrepreneurs major amounts of money when they're willing to pay it back and signed a contract that said they would pay it back with interest and then rips it up and says, go run your business? You don't owe me anything. Does that sound like a racist to you? Does that sound like an evil man to you? Does that sound like someone who wants to usurp your authority and put you under his thumb? Or does that sound like someone who likes to see other people succeed too? Does that sound like someone who has been very, very, very lucky and very, very successful in his life and passes it on? Politics is an ugly, ugly, ugly game. And the one time that someone who isn't a politician decided to play it, all the other politicians panicked because they knew he could expose it. And he is exposing it. And with each and every time that they try to take him down, expose themselves more, just like Fannie Willis, Jack Smith, Albert Bragg. They're all exposing themselves. Oh, crime is not a big deal. Then why in New York is Kathy Hochul literally sending the National Guard into the subways? Folks, it's out of control. This is their vision. This is what they want. Donald Trump's standing in the way of that. And they never thought with everything they did to him, he'd still be standing. They even sent in Nikki Haley as their agent provocateur to try to convince you to be a good Republican and vote for the Republicans who don't fight back. And you didn't. You didn't listen to them. That's your crime. That's why Joe Scarborough is going berserk. That's why people like Joy Reid is going berserk. Because you didn't listen to them. You dared to have a mind of your own. And in their regime, that's not allowed.